Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Happy Ladies of Liverpool Day. For your support, for your love, for your interaction, for every single listen, it really does count. And a big shout out to our sponsor, our brand new sponsor, the Orthodontist Practice on Rodney Street. You know I am raving from a very personal place about these guys and everything they do. I think at the heart of the Orthodontist Practice, what we need to remember is this isn't just about your teeth or your child's teeth. This is about their confidence and who we are trying to build when it comes to our kids. Any hurdles we'll always remove. And with some of the new things that they've got going on, they really can make a difference without surgery, without big upheavals to your child's life. The support, the love and the care is undeniable. And I'm speaking from a real place of love and experience. So honoured to have the Orthodontist Practice on board today and for the next couple of months. Also very pleased to introduce our guest this week, who for me is not only my bestie, but she's a woman I look up to every day of the week, whether it's from a professional stance, looking at what she does as a working mother, as a single mum, the life challenges that have come her way over the last couple of years are undeniable. But what we look at most when we look at our Chantelle is how she overcome them. And we're going to do a deep dive today. Plus, we're going to find a star for this year's Panto. So if you know someone who's super talented, who could play Snow White, here are your details. Welcome, Chantelle.
Hello.
So not your first time.
No.
We had you on the podcast in the very early days, Up the Tower. It was a new project for you, a passion project, but it was exactly the same as what it is today, all these years later. It's just about putting our women on a platform, raving about them, celebrating the good that they do, especially when it's someone like you. And I know people are going to think I'm being a little bit biased now because I obviously adore you. But I think from a working point of view, having worked with you many times and knowing your family and knowing what you do for everyone around you, it's just glorious to have you back on the seat at a different phase in your life.
I know. I mean, how many years ago was that?
That probably about 6 years. It was before lockdown.
No, I was pregnant and I told you, remember? And I hadn't told anyone.
How long ago was that?
Seven?
Seven years?
Coming up to 7 years, yeah.
Okay, so a lot's changed.
Yeah.
We're going to start with the important stuff for the talented folk out there. So mums, dads, nans, granddads, aunties, uncles, teachers. Do you know someone who could play Snow White? And this could be a big break for someone in Liverpool. So as well as lifting the people who sit in that seat that you're in, Chantelle, let's lift all the youngsters, all the youth, all the young ones trying to break into the industry. What have you got on offer?
Well, I'm really excited that we are doing open auditions at the Epstein Theatre on Thursday, the 2nd of July. Registration is 9 o'clock and we're going to do a full open audition. So there's a dance call. There's an opportunity to sing two songs and perform a monologue to the panel of judges, casting directors and things like that.
Okay, so this could be an opportunity for someone fresh out of college. It could be for someone older who's just not managed to get a decent
get
break. This industry is really
so hard.
Really hard.
And so many companies use the same people over and over.
Yeah.
And you know, you do get your regulars, and there's lots of artists that work for me time after time after time, because we say once you're in the Regal family, you're in.
Yeah.
But also each project I do like to try and find, if I can, a fresh new talent that I've never worked with before.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to open those Epstein doors, come up the big grand staircase and have a lovely time.
And we only offer these opportunities in life, don't we? Because we've been there. We've been and we've seen.
We've stood on that stage and it's so nerve-wracking. And the more open auditions you go to, or any audition, the less it, you know, it attacks your nervous system.
Yeah, you know. The routine, like everything.
Used to meeting the other girls and, you know, people that are sat on the panel. Yeah. So it's great.
Making those connections is so important. Like you say, we have been there. I've stood there. I actually got one of my first panto roles, my first leading lady roles for your company. You were a kid then. It was run by your mum. The legendary, I call her Jane Brown, but she is
Jane Brown. People call me Chantel Brown.
Do they? Yeah. Because back in the day, Chantel's mum was a producer for the Pantos. So we're talking the big, the ultimate Liverpool Empire Pantos of the 80s and the 90s. Mm. And your mum was quietly behind the scenes making it all happen. A Scouse woman.
Yeah.
And everything we love about a Scouser, even way back then, she was like glamorous.
So glam.
Supportive. Yeah. And she was plucking these local talented artists out and putting them amongst the big West End stars or the TV stars or the Hollywood movie stars and putting them in the mix. That is just so incredible.
Yeah.
Like to be able to do that and for her to use her position to make that happen for other people is undeniable. And then you followed right in her footsteps. Mm. So for someone who's going to audition or throw themselves into the mix, what kinds of celebrities have you worked with in the past once you had the reins to this company?
Well, my first pantomime was the Liverpool Empire with Mr. T. And in my office, just to kind of bring me back down, there's a picture on the wall of me as the tiniest juvenile. I must have been about 5 years old.
That was my first panto with you.
I was a little one, of course, we were in together. With that, Mr. T, and it's on the wall. And I think, God, you know, how many years have we been in this industry and met so many people along the way?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people stick out. One of them, Amy Childs was in our panto and she was massive in TOWIE then. I know it's all come back and it's on ITV.
But this was this time around. But
she was one of the OGs and we got her in panto when she was big then, you know, and we did the press launch and I've never seen the amount of photographers that turned up for that press launch. I couldn't believe it. We were holding them back at the door.
Just trying to get that picture.
Yes. And she was pregnant and nobody knew. We had the job of, we did our press launch in September where she just found out she was pregnant. By Christmas, you can imagine, her tummy, you've been there as well.
I've been a pregnant Cinderella.
But she was a pregnant
slave of the ring
in Aladdin, and she had a little belly top on. And we had to keep adding layers of chiffon just to hide the bump as it grew. And, you know, she was so lovely to work with, and her cousin Harry. I'm trying to think. It's just amazing, isn't it? The people you come across, Sally Lindsay.
Oh, we love,
you know, American stars. It's just... Yeah. Everyone becomes a friend, which is nice as well.
And I want to talk about that because I've worked for many different companies during my time, and I'll often ring Chantel and be like, it's not like working for Regal. It never is.
Do you know,
these celebrities are out of town, they're in Liverpool, and that, you know, that it's Christmas and Chantel and the family will be like, come and have Christmas dinner with us.
Well, that's what Amy Childs, I was going on to say, she ended up in ours on Christmas Day because she was staying in the Sweet Hotel on the Lanks.
Yeah.
And they had a big Christmas dinner thing and she just was homesick.
Yeah.
And she just rang me up and said, what are you doing? I said, well, we just had our dinner. Do you fancy coming down? And she was like, yeah, okay. So they came in the car and they're having a little drink with us and it was just, it becomes normal because, like I say, they become your friends and you stay in touch with so many of them. And, you know, we go to Mallorca a lot, you've been, we end up seeing people there, they're coming round.
Yeah.
It's just, you make friends for life and it's really nice. But that shows that we are a great, lovely company to work for, I think, because everyone wants to come back.
Of course they do. They're all banging the door down every year. Yeah. They've got anything for me.
I know.
And it starts early around about now, doesn't it? You start getting
It started like February time.
Yeah.
We start thinking about what we're going to do and putting the production in place and, like you say, booking the celebrity and then you filter everybody else in.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, we're nearly fully cast for all both pantos now, just the final little Snow White to put in. I need a Peter Pan in St. Helens, just going to start auditioning them as well. So
I'm excited for this Snow White.
Yes.
I can't wait to see what doors it opens up for this, you know, talented youngster. Yeah. And I'm going to be in it. So I'm playing the magic mirror.
Yes.
So I've done it before on like a screen.
On a screen.
Yeah. And so I'm getting the messages, you announced it the other day and people are going, are you going to be there? I'm like, read the poster.
I know.
It says in person.
Because I think you did one the year before for us on the screen as well. So we really need to drum it home that you are live.
I will be there. Do you know what? It's funny because that's the first year I managed to do two pantos at the same time. I got double bubble. I was absolutely buzzing. And it got to worked out better because I think it was that year then, a couple of weeks later, they announced that my job didn't exist anymore. Oh. And I was like, well, at least there's a double bubble at Christmas. Yeah. That'll keep me going for a little
making
bit.
Making it so different for you as well, because the mirror usually is a screen or a projection or something like that, a pre-record. And I've just commissioned, I haven't even told you this yet,
no,
a massive, big, beautiful, gold, ornate prop that we're having made. So you can sit in it and you get pushed on by like gorgeous dancers.
Yeah.
And then you step out of it.
Oh, I love it.
So it's fab.
I've been thinking, now this is when I start harassing Chantel and I'm amongst every member of cast, I think, that will just wake up in the middle of the night and go, I've had an idea. And she must be absolutely fed up.
I get WhatsApps like in the morning.
So I'm like, what song can I do stepping out of the mirror? And we've got Shania Payne, of course, who was with us last Christmas playing Wicked Queen. And I'm thinking of duets for me and her to do because we have a great time. The casts are always the backbone. But then you've got the crew and you've got the venue, and the Epstein Theatre is just brilliant, especially for a newcomer, because it feels homely. Mm. It's a bit of a smaller venue, but we pack out that theatre show, multiple shows a day.
Yeah. And Regal have such a great relationship with the new owners there now, Maureen, Hayley and Stephen. They run it fantastically and we get on like house on fire.
Yeah.
They're new to the theatre industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we pass loads of advice back and forth, you know, and Maureen's so big in the hospitality industry that she gives me advice on things as well. So it's great. The partnership's great. And I think that comes across in the pantomimes as well. So
you've earned every bit of success that's come your way. You really have. But like every life and most women listening to this, if not all of us, you've had your ups and downs.
Yeah.
So let's do a couple of exclusives, shall we? So for people who didn't know, and this is what I love about this pod, is that you see what you see online and you read what you read in the media and in the press, and then there's the truth. And not often can you talk about the truth for legal reasons or whatever else it might be, but there are moments when you absolutely can. And I think this is a lovely moment for us to lift the curtain on what was going on in our lives when the big news came out about, you know, Radio City. And I was getting messages and messages and messages and messages. What are you going to do? People were sending me videos of the kids crying. And it was really quite emotional and really intense because it was big news. We were no longer having our local radio station here. It's moving to London and everything was going. And when we closed the tower, that meant, you know, the cleaners, it meant the receptionist, it meant sales. It meant there was mass issues for a lot of people. But being the face of it, a lot of people came to me directly because that's the wonderful thing about social media. And it was intense at the time because I was dealing with my own thing. What I couldn't say to people is, this week that we're hearing this is also the week that my besties are going through the worst thing possible. And your nephew, Georgie, your sister, her little boy, in that same week was diagnosed with a very aggressive tumour.
Yeah.
And nobody knew how it was going to turn out. So talk us through the Saturday. We were all in yours. And
we had a big Grand National party. Yeah. He was running around.
Playing football with my Jay in the front of your mum's house.
Yeah. So my son, Austin, is born in the June and Fabian's the October. So they're in different school years, but they are like thick as thieves. They're
like little twinnies.
4 months apart.
Yeah.
Me and our Georgia are really close.
Yeah.
So they're just like the same. They're more like twins, you know what I mean? And so they were playing. Everyone saw our little Fab running around and he'd been sick a couple of times. And anyway, he was sick again through the night and Georgia just had this mother's intuition, felt his tummy, felt a lump. And she said she lay there in bed and she thought, I'm taking him to Alder Hey. Don't know what twigged in her head. She said it the other day, she doesn't know what happened, but she knew she had to get him there. And so she went in the middle of the night, sat for 5 hours. He was seen by various different nurses, to a doctor, to a consultant. And within the week, he was admitted to Alder Hey for intense chemotherapy. And he was diagnosed with Burkitt lymphoma, which is with a 13-centimetre tumour in his tummy. And he was only 4. So you can imagine his little torso.
Just think, from side to side is not how many inches?
Well, it was 13 centimetres.
13 centimetres.
His torso was only like this.
That to me is the whole of his stomach. That's like,
you couldn't even see it when he was standing up. And there was nothing, you know.
There was just a point of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That she was like, it could be a hernia. It could be, she could just feel this little point. And you think,
it filled his whole stomach. And he was still fit as a fiddle running around, just waking up in the night and being a little bit sick.
And then going back to sleep.
Yeah.
And she'd ring us the next day, go, Fab was sick again last night. And we go, oh. And you know what? You Google things and the worst thing is always that.
Yeah.
And so you never think for a minute that it's going to be that.
No. Because you're told, don't go to the worst case scenario. It's not going to be that.
And she kept saying to us, do you think it's cancer, do you? And we were like, no. And it was. But Alder Hey acted fast. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a biopsy on the Friday and he was back in on the Saturday. They knew they had to attack this tumour with the best medicines.
We were together on the Friday waiting for this result to come through.
Yeah.
And I just remember the Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, they called her back in at 11 o'clock and they said, come towards 3A. And so, if you know Alder Hey, you know 3B is the ward.
Yeah.
The
oncology is that.
Children with cancer to go on. And she was called a 3A. So you're kind of like, oh, you know, maybe. And then they, when they admitted him, they booked him into 3B.
Yeah.
And you just never think that's going to happen to anyone in your family, especially your nephew, especially your son.
Yeah.
You know, for Georgia and Jay. And they had little Gabriel as well. He wasn't even one.
A brand new baby.
You know, so, but we came together as a family. We locked down. We didn't put it all over socials.
No.
She just dealt with it. They're so strong, them two.
Yeah.
And they didn't even let anyone in the hospital. They did it themselves. The one parent slept with Gabriel at home and one was in the hospital with Fab and they did it on a rota like that.
Yeah.
And George just said, I don't want anyone, you know, this is personal to her, but she didn't want anyone bringing any like common germs in or anything like that.
Of course,
So they literally did it themselves. So we were there to support them when they were doing their home time.
Yeah.
I stayed over with Georgia the first night she came home, held hands all night, you know. And they, I don't like to say got on with it, but they, as a young couple, they did.
I think lockdown, that term you've just used, the family lockdown, Mum and Dad locked down. Yeah. There was a job to be done.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, everything was going to be all right. Yeah. Now, this is the thing with childhood cancers as well, isn't it? Sometimes you hear this news and if that was an adult with a tumour that's filling the whole of their insides, you're dreading the worst. That sounds like stage four. It's got so advanced. But with the youngsters, they can really bounce back. And thankfully, that's the story with our Fab.
You know, George's oncologist, Kat, said to her, this will affect you and Jay more than him. This is curable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to hold on to positives like that.
Yeah.
And George is a big believer in manifestation.
Yeah.
And she knew he'd be okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know how she did it. No. Honestly, I'd be...
There was moments when I'd speak to you or Georgia and... That baby's body was being put to the absolute test.
Yeah.
The chemo was burning them from the inside.
Well, the chemo can be more fatal sometimes on a child than the actual disease, you know, the actual illness. And we just used to say to Fab, you've got baddies in your tummy and we need to get them out.
Yeah, we're going
to
fight them.
We're fighting the baddies. Yeah. And he was like,
and he'd have his little superhero costume.
He used to go down to his operations with a mask and a cape and run down. You know, you'll see when she did the collage at the end, you know, you saw all that. And personally, within our friends and family, we used to send little videos to each other and things like that. But on the outside, no one knew.
No.
Our lives have to carry on. Yeah. And... You know, some people say, oh, you shouldn't just put a face on like that, but that's who we are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We pick ourselves up and we keep going.
Yeah.
And we did. And, you know, it's so lovely that Fab rang that bell.
And
he rang it hard.
This week he's just found out as well.
Yes. He's
some
just
more great
had,
news.
Yeah. He's had the 2-year sign off. So his checkups go to every 6 months. And we just thank Alder Hey, you know. Couldn't be without them.
Also the Owen McVeigh Foundation, we do need to mention them because what a support they were and continue to be for the family.
Mm.
Can you think of any moments that we can talk about where Owen McVeigh have stepped up and helped Fabian and Georgia and Jay?
Well, Jay is a massive, massive Liverpool supporter.
Yeah.
And so they took Fabian to his first Liverpool match. And since then, his love of football has just developed. He's a big red now as well. I mean, we're Evertonians in the Joseph household.
Massive Evertonians, by the way. So
it's funny, but...
it's a nice one, Owen McVeigh.
Yeah, I know. But Georgia did a skydive for Owen McVeigh just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
She raised £5,000. And the Owen McVeigh logo is all about off to the match we go. And it's big on Liverpool, but Ed, so that's Mark McVeigh, he runs it. But Eddie as well, he's an Evertonian and he's like the side to Mark McVeigh. Yeah. And so he said, hang on a minute, I want these t-shirts in blue. So I wore the blue version when we went to the skydive.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So it was good, yeah, really good. But can't thank them enough. They support families and children with cancer, and they're massive in Liverpool, yeah. But they're a charity that need to stay. You know, they do so much for the community and they do so many great events to raise money. They're just phenomenal. You know, they've been through traumatic times themselves. You know, Mark and his lovely wife sadly lost their son, Owen. And I think they, you know, from the diagnosis was 2 weeks, you know. Wow. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So they do their best and they raise money for other families going through the terrible times that they know they've been there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, couldn't do without them. They're amazing.
So all this is going on. And then shortly after, your lovely mum goes for a routine checkup.
Mm.
And she's diagnosed with cancer.
I know. Well, Fabian was ringing the bell and mum was new. She'd been diagnosed, but we couldn't tell Georgia because she was already ropey, mm-hmm. You know, so this was something that we had to deal with. And Georgia's, we didn't want to knock her mental health even more, you know, she was just, and so.
Because when someone's going through cancer, you feel like you're surrounded by it.
Yeah.
I know myself with Suzanne, it's like people want to talk to you about it all the time and you don't want it to become your identity because it's the hardest, most awful time in your life and you almost want to get rid of it. And I know a psychiatrist or a therapist would say, no, you've got to sit with it and I get that and all. But then once you've had that good news, you don't want to hear that word again. And you certainly don't want to hear that your mum is about to go through her own journey.
Yeah, no.
Just as you're coming out the other side.
And my mum, we always laugh. I say, you've got the worst health anxiety. And she goes, do you blame me? She's funny, but she surprised me as well because she dealt with it as such a strong woman. We're surrounded by strong women, aren't
totally.
We? You know, we've got my dad who is like the pillar of strength in the Joseph family, the circle we call ourselves. But, you know, like my mum said, behind every successful man is a... I can't even think of this.
Is a Jane Brown.
Yes. What is it? I can't even think of the saying now, but everyone will know what I mean.
Behind every man.
Every successful man is a strong woman. Or something like that. Yeah. And that is the case with our family, you know.
1,000,000%. Yeah. 1,000,000%. Yeah. So in amongst all of this, ahead of all of this, you were going through your own personal journey.
Yeah.
So you're running shows, you're running multiple venues, you're taking shows on tour. You had Jake Quickenton going off doing, Lisa Sue and Bob too. So you're managing, and let's be honest, you know, actors are not always the easiest bunch. So when you've got multiple groups with all their issues and I'm, you know, up there, my mic's not working, this is where, and there's texts coming through thick and fast and calls and I don't want to do that and I'm not sure about that scene and all this stuff, which is very important to your actors. Not many people have more than one show going at a time and you've been known to have 3, 4, 5 going on at a time.
And running the theatre at the same time.
And well on top of that, which comes down to the basics of staff, wages, stocking up your bar.
Yep.
So this girl is 24/7, think. Your marriage ends. Mm. You become a single mum to two young boys.
Mm.
What's that been like for you? What learns for all the women listening who are maybe just at the start of that journey? What learns or advice have you got for women who have just stepped away from a marriage and they're making steps towards a life on their own?
Yeah, I would say don't be scared, don't be frightened. If you've got great friends and family, then you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll always be fine because if you're not fine, it's not over. Do you know what I mean? You've just got to carry on.
Yeah.
It is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard being... spinning all those plates and then going home and being on your own in the house. You're the only adult sometimes. You don't have someone there to sit and watch the telly with of a night. Or, you know, I've got a 13-year-old now and he just goes up to his room, plays on the Xbox.
Yeah.
And then I've got Austin, who's 6, who, you know, he's still a baby. Yeah. Oh, well, he's my baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, but when they go to bed, you're on your own.
Yeah.
You with your own thoughts.
And you've been married for such a long time, so you're used to being able to offload and have support, even if it's down to, you know, just keeping the house in order. There's two of you.
Yeah.
There's been times when Jay's been away and I've messaged you and I've been like, I'm 48 hours in.
Yeah.
And I am starting to lose it. Mm. It's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot, but you know,
everything to everyone.
I think as well, I would always say to somebody, don't stay in a relationship if you're not happy, because the main thing is your happiness and you protect your peace.
Life's short,
yeah. And, you know, some marriages go on forever. Look at you, look at my mum and dad, and some don't. But it doesn't make you a bad person.
No.
You know, it doesn't mean you're a failure one bit, because actually, if you've got the courage to leave and do what you know in your heart is right for you,
yeah,
then that's courageous in itself.
It really is.
You know, that's the hardest bit. The hardest bit, I think, is to make that break in any situation, whether it's amicable or not.
Yeah.
The hardest bit is to say, this is over in your own head.
There's two things I've heard recently that apply to a situation like this, or you can maybe take this, whoever's listening now, and relate it to what you're going through, whatever it may be. One is, it will never be harder than it is now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes at that moment, that is the hardest, because it won't feel all consuming. There'll be moments, there'll be things you've got to deal with, but it won't be 24/7 all consuming.
Yeah.
It'll never be as hard as it is now. And I've felt that in different ways at different times in my life. It'll never be as hard as it is now. And that's a great way to just reframe it and know you're moving forward. And the other is, the sooner you get off that train, the closer you are to home.
Yeah.
You can stay on it, but you get further and further away from who you are and your people are. And then it's harder. And the thought of getting off is harder. And then you might sort of encourage yourself to just stay on.
Yeah.
Just stay on. You've got a seat. Just stay on. But if you can, the earlier you can jump off, the quicker you are to get back to your people and your home.
Yeah.
And I love that as a piece of advice.
There's like a stigma as well of like young divorced women.
Powerful, successful young divorced women. Yeah,
people. And it's like, failed marriage. But it's not failed, because I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you find people, this is like we are best mates and I'm asking questions now I've never asked you over a glass of wine or whatever, because I feel like I'm asking you because I know how supportive you are to the people around you. And you said before, you know, if someone's leaving a marriage, even if you haven't got the support network, you know, you'll still be all right. Everything's so much harder when you haven't got people to talk to or people to go, you've done it to me countless times, I've done it to you. Right, you've got today.
Yeah.
Feel it today, but I'm going to ring you tomorrow morning.
And I don't want to hear it.
And we don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
Yeah.
It's done. There's nothing we can do. Cry it out today, tomorrow, new day.
Mm.
And we do, right, fresh day, how are you feeling?
That's it, yeah.
That's how we manage our friendship.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, that's how we cope as women and how we deal with things. So, For someone who hasn't got that support network, how do you step out of it?
Do you know, I think everyone is so down on social media, but I think if you didn't have that support network, there's so many women on that phone that you can watch and nice stories. It's not all doom and gloom. Everyone's so bad to say, oh, you know, your algorithm goes down and it makes you depressed. It doesn't. Because I've looked at so many women and read their stories and you relate to them.
Yeah.
And it's like almost like you know them. Yeah. I follow a lady and I feel like I know her.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to message her and say, oh, that's happened to me or blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm no one to her. She must have had millions of followers.
Yeah.
But it feels like a connection. So I think if you don't have a support network, or if your family live miles away, or you feel like you haven't got a friend that you could pick up the phone to, I would say there's people out there on the social side of media side of it, that you might be able to relate to it and possibly help.
Especially if you've got young kids as well and you're not socialising, you haven't got the opportunity to go and meet in groups or, you know, join a running club or, you know, whatever it might be that interests you that would get you out of the house. Sometimes when you're left on your own with kids and that shock to the system is that you don't get 5 minutes.
You don't get 5 minutes, literally.
No.
I put Austin to bed last night and my little one doesn't go to bed till late.
Yes.
A live wire. Finally got him to bed about 9:30, 9:45. And I knew I still had to empty the dishwasher. And I knew I still had to put a wash on and wait for it to finish and take it out. And I knew that the shirts needed ironing for the next day. And there's no one there to go, can you just do that for me? But on the same time, like I said before, I'm happy in my home.
Yeah.
I love it when my boys are there, you know, and...
You close that door.
Yeah.
And it's yours.
Yeah.
And the successes of those boys, that's yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on your own putting them to bed, but yeah. You get to enjoy them in the morning. You're the only one there that they wake up to and run to.
I know.
So,
and single mums that do go through that will relate to that as well, that it's a lovely feeling. And it's nice to know that you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like makes you proud.
It's empowering. You've got so much to be proud of. So when it comes to your career then, so we move on now to women in business who are listening to this podcast, because we've got so many different people, men, women from the UK, from Liverpool, abroad, all tuning in for different reasons. And I love the feedback that they give me. Again, if you are feeling alone, the Ladies of Liverpool pages, get in touch, DM.
Yeah.
We'll put you in contact with other people. We'll support you through whatever you're going through. We've got so many people now on our catalogue of past guests. You know, we are a community. So yeah. By listening to this podcast, you're in the community, you're in the gang. For the women in business then, you've been through ups, downs, highs, lows. When you are successful, now you're award-winning in your industry, be it theatre, be it just as a professional woman, you obviously are seen as a success.
Mm.
Does that come with a negative at all? So have you ever faced other people maybe feeling threatened by what you're doing, or, you know, finding a negative? Has it ever come to you? Because I know in my situation, very rarely, but there have been times when you go, oh, okay, I always refer to it as someone tries to dim your light to make theirs shine brighter. And it's an awful way to be. And it never ends in success, by the way. You know, spoiler alert, no one does well by trying to bring someone else down.
No.
Do you feel like you've ever come across that either in person, on social media?
So when I first started out, like you say, I've taken over from my mum.
Yeah.
So I felt like I got a lot of, she's only there because of her mum. She only got that role because of her mum.
Yeah.
She's only doing that because of her mum. So I felt like I had a fight in me to prove that, okay, she may have opened doors for me, and that's just the way life is. You know, it's not what, you know, it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to prove myself.
You can't do your job by bluffing it.
When
got to know you.
Yeah, when mum was producing the pantos, I remember I said to her, I'd love to play the princess. And she went, you're not ready yet. And I was like, oh, okay. So she gave me some understudy role or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, but I will be ready next year.
Yeah.
So I proved myself, worked hard in college. And then I said, can I play Cinderella? I think it was Cinderella or Snow White or something. And she went, yeah, okay, I'll give you a chance. She said, but do not let me down. Because she's quite, my mum and dad have always been harsh on Georgia and I. You know, we're very fortunate. But dad's motto is work comes first.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've both got to work. Yeah. You can't just sit back and let things come to you. You've got to go out and get them. So I feel like I've always been faced with that.
But can I interject there that you weren't just given this role? You've done pubs, clubs, you dance in old people's homes in feather costumes. You paid your dues.
And I trained. Yeah, I did all that. But I just felt like I always had this little devil on my shoulder going, you're only there because of your mom.
You've got to prove yourself.
So I feel like now, years on, that I have proved myself. Yeah. And it's nice because we're known now as the mother-daughter duo.
Yeah.
Which is nice because we're level, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you've proved yourself.
Always put my mum on a pedestal. Yeah. You know, I always think she's the queen of panto. Yeah. But I think in the industry now, I've got my own name as well as her daughter. You know, when I was married, I had a different surname. So people sometimes didn't know.
Yeah.
But I'm back to my maiden name now. So we are Chantelle and Jane Joseph, you know, or Jane and Chantelle Joseph. So it's nice and it's lovely to work with her. But that's what I felt like I was faced with, especially in the early days.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen Kate Hudson get interviewed? Goldie Hawn's daughter.
Yeah.
And she said, Nepo baby has been branded round. She only gets the roles because of her mum. So I really had to prove myself. I love Kate Hudson.
Yeah, gorgeous. And Goldie Hawn, amazing.
But very different performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Similar looking, but they both have carved out a totally different career for themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, Goldie Hawn's probably helped her open those doors and get seen. But once you're seen, you've got to prove your way.
Yeah, and I think so many things have changed now as well. You have to deal with so many different things compared to what mum did years ago, like the social media side. And now as a director, I need to know so much more technical stuff than the mum did. Mum directed them, and I'm not putting her down in any way, but now I need to know about lighting, I need to know about sound, I need to know about scenery, fly. So you have to kind of expand your brain even more and learn, you know, learn on the jobs. I'm still learning now. That's one thing mum always says if we ever do an interview. She says, it just amazes me the way Chantel can lean towards any department. But
I've watched you, I've sat and watched performances with you, and I can see it, and she's going, oh, she's looking at the lights, the set, the sound, literally picking up on everything. And that takes a certain kind of skill to do it all.
But I love it. That's my favourite bit. My bit, you know, those long hours we do in tech, 12, 13 hour days.
Yeah.
They're my baby here. Yeah. That's the bit where I can make it a regal show, you know, and we really are, we're up there with the big boys now, even though we haven't got as many venues as the big panto companies. Yeah.
You're down at those awards in London.
We're well respected, so, which is great, isn't it? Great to know, you know.
Spouse, mum and daughter team.
Yeah.
Flying high.
We actually went to the Palladium Panto. Mum and I always go around the country to see what else is out there. And we were sat in the Palladium and a lady was sat in front of us. And I thought, these are in the industry, I felt like. And we must have been sat behind the house seat, which is a rower seat. They always keep in a theatre for anyone in the production that needs to come in and do notes or whatever. I thought, these look like they're from the industry. And a lady turned around and she went, you're that mother-daughter duo everyone's talking about. And I went, oh, yeah. You know, like, and isn't that fantastic? How, you know, it made me pinch myself.
For our city, for our women. Yeah. You know, just to be like, just keep trucking,
and
keep
women
going
in that industry as well. It's very male-dominated. You wouldn't think theatre would be, but it actually is.
It is, yeah.
When I became the theatre manager at St. Helens 13 years ago, I was the youngest theatre manager in the country. You know, and that's another thing as well. It was mum and dad's company, and I was just working admin there and the box office, and the theatre manager retired. And I said, I can do this.
Yeah.
And Barry, my dad, was like, I'm not quite sure, you know, you're a bit young, you have never run a place before.
Yeah.
Maybe we just make you the assistant theatre manager and we'll get someone in more experienced. And I was like, no, I can do this.
Yes.
Yeah. And my mum, I call my mum Jane, and when we're in like work environment, and Jane said, no, she can do this, I think.
Mm.
And never look back. The theatre's doing fantastically well for a small town in St. Helens as well. It's really like the pinnacle and all the regeneration that's going on in the town. And the council came to me and said, we want to make St. Helens the theatre royal, the focal point. And they've opened it up a big walkway to the to St. Helens Church. So, you know, that's one of the main things in the town. And love or load St. Helens, that's where, you know, I am most days, running that theatre in that office.
Getting your hands dirty, getting stuck in.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be back at the Theatre Royal in September.
Achy Breaky Bride.
Talk everyone through that.
So, Achy Breaky Bride, we produced it once before, and you've played Jolene before, but this is a different spin because I'm directing it this time. We used to have Sylvie Gatchell, the lovely Sylvie Gatchell.
Rest in peace.
Direct all our plays. I've always done the pantos, but I never did the plays. Yeah. Sylvie did them. They were her bag. And I came in at like tech time, and like I said, did the lighting and finishing touches and things. And Sylvie passed, and our next show after that was Rita Sue and Bob 2.
Yeah.
And she directed that for us about 8 times.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, who am I going to get in to direct this? Because I'd never done plays. And then I thought, you know what? Sylvie would love me to do this.
She would.
We got on so well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I developed her direction and made it my own. And that's what I'm going to do with Achy Breaky Bride.
Can't wait to wait. Country and Western tunes.
Yes.
All the bangers that you know and love, including some of the new ones.
Yes. We're going to spice it up and put a bit of Beyonce in and Miley Cyrus.
The story behind it is that me, Jolene, and my brother, Sue, a boy named Sue, we own a bridal shop.
Yes.
And it's all about the different brides that come through the doors and then our stories and how it all intertwines. And it's a clever piece of theatre. It's funny beyond belief. It's
so
rude,
funny.
It's
yeah.
naughty. The music's in there to get you dancing. We want you there with your cowboy hats on and your cowboy boots, dancing away with us.
There's partial nudity.
There's partial nudity, be warned. Not me. As far as I know, I haven't had the script yet, but as far as I know, it's not me, but you're going to love it. So please, 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 maybe we'll put like a little discount code or something in. We can put Ladies of Liverpool in. So keep an eye on the Ladies of Liverpool socials for that.
It's such a good girls' night out. And I'm not saying we don't want the men there, but it is, you know, the women love it, don't they? They love to sing along and just come as a group and... Oh. you can even come on your own if you want. You know, it's great. It's for anyone.
It's so much fun. So one more time, all about Snow White. Who are we looking for and how do they apply?
So we are looking for somebody that is a triple threat, that they are, if they've got panto experience, great. If they haven't, doesn't matter. Register with us, casting@sthelenstheatreroyal.co.uk, and we'll send you the monologue that you'll have to perform on the day. There's a dance call with our choreographer first, but don't worry, we're not looking for a prima ballerina. You know, it's just simple to make sure you can pick up some movement and quite simple choreography. Prepare a ballad that'll show off your vocal range and an up-tempo song that's just fun, that'll catch our eye. And yeah, that's it.
And next time we speak, you might have a Snow White. We'll be going into rehearsal.
I know.
We'll do another pod maybe with the girl who gets the part of Snow White.
That would be nice.
Live from the theatre on press day. Should we do that?
Fantastic, yes.
Wonderful. Make sure it's someone you love who sat in that seat.
And we're just about to announce a lovely prince, aren't we? Good looking.
Oh,
any day now, I would say.
So he's off the telly.
Yes.
And he's this sweet that he DM'd me, but I sent you the DM, didn't it? Introducing himself and saying hello and how excited
he is. Very good looking young lad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Well, it's been a joy as always.
Thank you.
Thank you, my gorgeous friends. And thank you for tuning in. We're back next week with a brand new episode. So listen back to the old ones if you fancy. Maybe listen back to Chantelle's original one.
Yeah.
If you scroll through the archives, however you listen to the pod. Thank you very much. Sponsored by the Author Dancers Practice on Rodney Street. Have a lovely, lovely week. We'll see you same time next week. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.